Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. The age of heroes unfolds today with a hero's journey. Hark, for I will speak of Bill Waitman, someone who's been my hero for decades. Back in the late 1970s, early 1980s, I was working in workforce development, and I was good at what I did, and they had an experimental unit in the Department of Employment, and I was recruited for it, and it was led by someone named Paul Pavel and by Bill Cutler, and we were doing all sorts of really experimental things. This is when What Color Is Your Parachute came out and the John C. Crystal Foundation. I don't know if these things exist anymore, but back then they were the rage in vocational work that was being done with people. These were the days of CETA. These were the days of public service employment, which came after CETA. And back then, one of the legends, as people spoke of, was Bill Waitman for all the really innovative things he was doing in the field of vocational rehabilitation and workforce development. It took decades for Bill and I to meet, but I heard about him throughout my journey. We finally connected after the PBS of New Jersey had us on a show called Jobcast, not together, but we were on the same program. We eventually connected, and Bill suggested we do a political show in one of our conversations, and that didn't happen right away, but it eventually happened, and here we are. So I would like to pay tribute to Bill Waitman and hear his tale from beginning to end. Greetings and welcome, Bill. Well, how are you?
My pleasure. My voice might be sounding fading out because I have laryngitis, but I remember those days. For me, it was a long commute because I would drive down to Trenton or Atlantic City, you know, to set up something there or to go out to what the heck is the state? No, it was way out in Detroit. I spent a lot of time in Detroit doing experimental things, working with Wayne State. It was fun, Hercules, because I got to meet so many great people. We knew we were going out of business, so we tried together to form four states of our own that were regional. But in the national program, they were intent on giving it to North Carolina, and I thought that was a bad move because we had eyes and ears from different, you know, four to eight states, and we would have been all over the country via that. California would be in the West. Detroit was Detroit, believe it or not, I spent a lot of time in Detroit, which was good for me because I love sports.
Uh-huh.
And I'd walk out of I'd be in a hotel and there would be this football player who had a size 15 shoe or something, and he was the center for Detroit's basketball team. But they all flowed through. I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot of things, and I worked across the country. In California, Lake Tahoe, we did some programs there. I've never been to Lake Tahoe, but many of the places were like, you know, Detroit, Patterson, and take Newark here down the road from where I am right this minute. I'm on Route 3 right this minute, but I worked in all these different regimes, and I'm sorry to say that it disappeared. They tried to do it with just one state. You couldn't do it with one state. You needed to be all over the place. And, some of the byproducts of what we did were I developed long-range testing. I worked with a company that wasn't ETS, which made ETS very angry. But I used a company that had things that I thought they were really useful. And that was an independent state that I hooked up with a PhD psychologist, and we did a railroad. Some of the things I did was selective testing and stuff like that, but we set a railroad up that went all the way up to New York, and it was a seller, and the seller was a big boom at the time. But there were so many things. So we walked into Atlantic City. We hit every casino. One of the jobs was to develop screening tools, and we did that. And we got along with our partner, the other company. I did a lot of studies in Detroit. I did a lot of studies in New Jersey. One of my greatest studies was a number of high schools in New Jersey, and I wanted to get that to go to other states. I finished the study. It was a workable study. It made some great predictions. I had about 100. I hope I'm not driving, putting everybody to sleep, but I made a lot of discoveries. I also found out that people in our state move. So I might have somebody in Brunswick and they're in Sussex County or some other place. Sometimes I could track them down and finish up a second study. You know what I mean? They would be settled in another high school, maybe in High Point in Sussex. They came up and I would follow them and I would do that. I really hit the whole county. We did some, we worked with a lot of companies that you would know today, M&M Mars. I spent a great amount of time. I sound like I'm not allowed to eat candy, but I ate a lot of candy in my studies. I did a lot of them. Hilda's in the background laughing, but I love.
Hi, Hilda.
She's here. She looks
hi.
Like.
Hi, Hercules.
We're in a hamburger joint right now.
Oh, awesome.
She's counting quarters, it seems. Maybe we didn't hit any. We didn't hit any of those machines in the Atlantic City. I never won there anyway. But we did a lot of things. Atlantic City was one of the places that we opened up to casino gambling. Me, I'm not a fan of gambling. It's funny. I have a brother that's addicted to gambling, and I just took the other reverse. I tried to pick topics that would help humanity. You know, do more than have somebody play a game in Atlantic City and blow all their money.
Your studies were quoted far and near. I know in that select group that I belong to in the Department of Employment, you were legendary. And many of the things I've done over the years, like when I started working the voting polls and they had me all over like Bergen County, I met people who work with you and who spoke very highly of you there too. And I said, Bill's my friend. I know Bill. Oh, Bill was great. You know, so you really left a lasting impression, and you're very well known for your, internship, the programs, with the apprenticeships.
I really was into that. I thought that could change lives. I shouldn't say this, but I have a son that is looking a little wayward. And I got him into the electrician's union. He passed the test on his own. It wasn't my test. I didn't create it. But he did good. And today he has his own business. He's left the
awesome.
Union. And he's a success story in many ways. But there were people all over the country like that. I was a big fan of this, those kind of programs, because they led to people to a higher status. I ran across people that worked on Wall Street that would wind up wanting to work in the trades, because you've got a steady, the correlation is you go from a strong position to a still strong position. If you're in the electricians, you have good skills to start off, you pass their test, because some of the unions have their own teachers. They do, on-site training and whatnot, and go out with the members. But there's a lot of benefits, and I was always a big fan of apprenticeship and anything that I could do that. I take pleasure in noting that I worked with a man named Pete Naza, who was also a professional boxer, Hercules, and he worked in government.
I'm still here.
He was a mentor for me. He taught me a lot of stuff. I went to and from. We did a study. This was a different thing entirely. We worked with the Ford Motor Company in New Jersey, administering Japanese methods of training and learning. And it worked. The workers would gather around. They would see a problem, and they would solve it. And it was fantastic. The only thing that I have to regret is they moved it to Detroit. And people weren't going to go out to Detroit to do that. And it was it hadn't been in operation for about 15, 20 years, but they took on for the last 2 years, and it was a success. Those things worked. You know, the Japanese know what they're doing. Other people, they're relying on other people. But I found it a great thing to do. And I'm glad that you even mentioned some of the stuff I wrote. I wrote a lot of number of studies that I did. I don't have them myself. I think I might have some in Florida. But I enjoyed every minute of it. I've met some interesting people. You know the camera company where the guy jumped out of off the roof. I'm forgetting the name of the camera company. But it was I tried to save that company. It was Kodak. And the head of Kodak long ago jumped off the building. I was up the phone up to Rochester. And I enjoyed the history of it because it was business history is just as important as all kinds of history. And to see that we could get people to change, workers to change, and do better, bigger and better things. The Japanese methods were, they seem to work because they sit around and they pour into information on it. Because in the one Ford plant that I worked, there were two lines. One was was an independent car company that Ford worked with, probably Japanese. And on the other one was their own, you know, car and truck company. So it was an interesting phenomenon to see that. And I worked with a guy who was on and off was a hero to me. He Pete Nanza was, first of all, he was crazy. He was in the Boxing Hall of Fame. He was ready to fight on time, Hercules.
You still know many boxers, and we've done, you and your boxer friend have done several shows on the channel over the years.
Oh, I love that guy. I mean, he's doing a lot of that stuff out of his home, but he has a place. I think it's, you remember. The famous chubby comedian with who am I thinking of?
Costello?
The gym name. Yes, Costello was big in Patterson. He did have one fight. He had there's still a gym, I believe, called Costello Gym in Patterson. They have their meetings at, near the up the highway to the college in that area. But that was very formative because, like, as a kid, I was rooting for Ali. I idolized Ali, and I don't know if you go back that far, but I idolized a guy named Archie Moore, who, I made him a couple of times. He was in the New Jersey Hall of Fame. I don't know why, because he was from New York. But I got to know the plight of fighters, too, just like cars and industry. I mean, I worked at an early age at Atlantic City. Then I was out all over the place in casinos. I'm not a casino friend. I watch what it does to family members, and gambling is a disease. And my brother was the head of a union, and he blew it.
Wow.
And he wouldn't listen to me. My father was the postmaster in our town, and he was embarrassed. He tried to save his skin, and he just couldn't get my brother off these things. I don't gamble. I'm not Hercules. I ran that bar. I wish one day I'd take it. It's not there anymore, I think. And I was afraid of getting hit with a cue ball or a stick. It was crazy experiences, but it was made ready for Atlantic City. And one of the funny anecdotes I have in transferring to our bar is they sent me to the Meadowlands to bet on the first race on every horse and then to bet on special horses in the next race. And, of course, my mind couldn't keep up with it, so they lost.
So I bet they didn't ask you to go do that very often.
No, I stay away from gambling. I think it's a factor of seeing what it did to my brother. He lost a union. He had the largest postal union in the state. It went from by your area all the way down, skipped a few areas. And that's a shame that he blew that. And he paid for it. There were penalties for what he did. And, you know, my father was a postmaster. It didn't reflect good on him, but he retired, and he was happy. But one day he crossed the street in that stoop bar, and he got hit by a car.
Oh,
I'm
sorry.
You think that was it? He was a very, to me, my father, I had been hit by a car. My father wanted to play professional baseball. The guy was a drunk that hit me. I didn't get a chance. I tried, and I could hit a ball a mile, but there were things lacking. But he always had faith in me. And no matter what I did the book for him. I would go on a Sunday, and I got tickets to see the two local teams face each other up at Yale. The Giants were playing at Yale, and the Jets went up there, and that was the last game. What's his name? The quarterback. No, he's so. It's on my team. My time. It'll come to me later. Joe Namath. Joe Namath played in that game against the Giants. And the next week he was in Oakland or wherever. He was on the coast. But the work that I did, I enjoyed greatly. They sent me to a lot of, you know, I wound up taking master's degrees in Detroit. I took associated training from other colleges in the area, and I sharpened my computer skills at the time. And then I went back and I took training in some of our best colleges in New Jersey and New York. So I benefited with it. I did a lot of surveys, Hercules. It was fun because you code them and you do everything and you start seeing statistics. And I bought one of the first packets from a company. excuse me a sec. Could you? Oh, I got to take a step. I got a little. I have some kind of thing in my throat.
Yeah, it's okay. Take your time. If you need to drink a beverage or take a cough drop or something, you know, we'll just muddle through.
But you got to ask my wife. She doesn't seem to have. You have a cough drop? No.
Not tonight.
It's bare bones. I went to see my grandson, and they usually play nasty. They wouldn't let me leave the room. They let her leave the room. But it's not a nice experience. These kind of facilities that he's in, he was better off in school than there. Well, that.
Yeah, I'm sorry you're having to go through that. Your family, like my family, weaves back into Byzantium and medieval and ancient Greece and into mythical times. Your family weaves back to American history, and your family's been involved in a lot of that American history.
That's true, because my name is Waitman. It's really a Welsh name. I don't know what it comes from. Maybe it comes from, you know, Welsh and doing some kind of work and, you know, in province of the Welsh people tend not to be happy to be a member of the UK. Not as strong as, you know, Scotland, which is every now and then speaks up that they want to leave. The people that were Welsh in my family, some were just miners, but others were people. One started a company to make bullets and guns for the Union Army. Another one early was the fifth mayor of Washington, D.C. His name was William Waitman. You know, and many of them came from Pennsylvania or around D.C. It was a fun time. I haven't met all of them. Many of them are dead now. My father he had a brother, George, who was murdered in the Middle East. I don't know what he was doing there. I think he worked for a spy agency because it makes no sense. But my father at times was shipped out to Pennsylvania to live with people I never met. You know, my other side of the family, one-third. My name is Welsh. Ethnically, I'm largely more Italian than Irish. And those two groups never got along with each other. I had to do the drink. My voice is itchy. But I learned a lot from both sides. It tends, for me, the Irish are up in Sussex County. But I liked the Italians, and they too. I mean, they worked hard. My Uncle Nicky worked for George Steinbrenner. He built stadiums for him, in the South and other places, and he came down with cancer. He sent him to the Mayo Clinic at Steinbrenner. I guess Steinbrenner went there too at some time. But he was a good man. He worked his whole... Hercules, he worked all the time. He went home, he parked it, whatever he had, he was driving or towing, and he died the next day. He decided, you know, his daughter had, daughter has a waffle, not a waffle, what are those things? We should make him some kind of bread or something she was making. Yeah.
Hello, Bill. Bill,
can you
we got
me?
I'm here. You back?
Yeah, I must have had my big ear over that phone, but it's growing bigger all the time. I guess I think it goes out the door here. No, Bill's just laughing. She finds that funny, but it's getting bigger all the time. I really went to the worst dentist around. They ruined me. I have to get a suit going. I'm running out of time. They really botched me up. Two men, and they were man and a woman, and they were on both knees cutting me up.
Oh, no.
It was I came up from Florida to go for, I don't know, I got a call, and the next day I was in their seat, and they destroyed teeth. And it's, you know, it's not much fun that way. But in any event, I made a lot of friends in industry and unions. I developed tests for every union in the state. I don't know if they still use them, but I thought they were fairer than the ones they were getting. And I went into a lot of different adventures with, I really enjoyed the effort at Ford. I had such memories. The man was like, I looked up to him because he was he boxed in the Navy. He was a Navy champ in World War II. I didn't realize he was 93 years old. He died a few months back. And tough little guy. He would always say, Bill, you ready to fight? Not me. He wanted to take on an army. I don't want to fight an army of people. But he was a tough guy. And he came to an office and picked me out of that office. There was a woman there. It was attacking him all the time, putting up signs on his wall and everything else. This guy, he was losing. He was going to kill her. I said, we got to get out of here. But he was so in Atlantic City and the auto industry and the trains. I learned such much. I couldn't tell you in a lifetime how much he taught me. But I would improvise and do the surveys and whatever else I could to come up to make some kind of feasible industry. There was a guy in our state that he didn't get along with me much, but in the end, I went to a conference. I forget what it was. It was in our labor building. And I started bringing up some of the things we did. And I said, this stuff should be, study the jobs of the companies that move into you. Develop some kind of paper and a trail to show what these organizations matter and manufacture. And how capable is the difference from training the workforce to competing on, you know, on equal grounds with other countries? I don't believe in shipping industry overseas. I mean, I regretted it. You know, we had a shirt factory in Sussex County, big shirt, you know, for athletes and whatever. But they closed it and they shipped it offshore. I mean, there were so many other companies that I've seen that high-level pocketbooks. Why can't we make this stuff? I go in and say, look at Walmart, and the stuff is garbage. You know, I also like to wear decent clothes, and half the clothes, they just fall apart. We are better than that, and we should be better than that. And who's ever president should be pushing an agenda of change and opening up the economy. But we're not. The president's talking about things that would help our computerization. And it seems like, why is that years away? We invented it. Why don't we keep talking about it? He's going to, you know, make these critical parts and things that will help computer companies and everything. We need to be on it, not waiting for it forever and giving China another advantage on us. We're the ones that created all this stuff. Everything we made in America I mean, you probably have the same background than Italian and Irish workers in my family. They worked, some worked in high-tech industry, some didn't. I don't know about the Welsh. Some of them were coal miners, but others, you know, reached higher heights further down the line from Pennsylvania and fought in the Civil War, World War One, and World War Two. And the Welsh side of me goes back to the pre-American Revolution. I don't know what's wrong with the ailment of this country. Maybe we're forcing too much. I think trade is good, but when it's a steal away, it's not good. And I don't like to see people losing their jobs. You know, some of the big companies in New York City were laying off people by the thousands recently. That's not what we're about. We should be about putting people to work and, you know, doing it right.
Now, you're running for office soon, and it sounds like your campaign speech.
Yes, it will be. I got to shake this co-op, though. But, yeah, I see things wrong. And it's, you know what's funny? One guy in Sussex County, a Republican, I shook his hand. I ran in the lower of the range. The other guy destroyed me. He went after me with a hammer, which was not true. But anyway, he just called me up tonight, and I had a few words, and then he was gone. He's going to run for the state Senate. I like him. The problem with our party up here, the Democratic Party, is it doesn't do anything different. If you're going to emulate, I don't know if it was Yogi Berra or whoever said it, if you're going to do the whole thing of the other party, then you deserve to lose because they have people on the other party. You need to find a real thing to stand on and go for it. That's what politics should be about. And people should be getting out and voting, not having lower standards of voting. That I don't ascertain, and I don't understand in any way why people would do that. I did, the first time I ran, it was like crazy, Hercules. It was in the 90s, and I'm walking down in streets and woodland areas, and, you know, there are bears out there, and somebody asked me to do I did a story for the New York Times. Because I walked along and there was a bear behind me. Or I've even seen moose in Sussex County. That came later in time. It was on Route 23. He just jumped over the fence, trying to mix with cows. And he jumped over the fence and I had a little sport car, which is down in Florida, in a shop still. I got to get it. And I didn't move. I waited for him to move. And he refused to move. Then he made a jump to jump up with the real cows. I don't know if moose can merge with real cows.
I don't know. I've heard of people seeing moose. I've never seen a moose in all my life other than in the zoo. Bears, though, I've seen a plenty. When we lived in northwestern Jersey, there were bears all over the place. When we lived in Pennsylvania, there were bears all over the place. People have spotted bears here in Bergen County recently as well.
Yes. You want to know something? I don't even see it. I used to have, if you got to come up sometime, and I'll show you. There's a street, there's a little woodland, and then there's a mountain. That mountain was the guy that invented the light bulb. He put a plant up there, iron ore. And, you know, he made light bulbs and everything else, but he failed with the mine. So he closed the mine and went back to his original things, which was light bulbs and other forms of electricity, phonographs. And, now I don't even see bears. I've actually run with a bear. It's not
really
a baloney or anything like that. I did. He came out of the woods. Nobody was ever watching me. Maybe Hilda was watching me. She just shook her head. And the bear came out. He went up the little woods we have there, and he was standing in front of me. So I started running to get up the stairs. And he turned his head, and he winked. I'm not making it up. I don't know if bear had a stick in his eye or whatever. But he kept going all the way up. He went up the street on the top of the hill, and he went into a woods. The danger was he probably should have stayed on the mountain. It was Edison's Mountain. But the moose, he wouldn't move at all. And I had to go to a Jewish store factory. I mean, why? The rabbi came up to bless the the piece to till the, you know, the meat. And the moose just jumped right in front of me. And I figured, he ain't going to let me go. And I went and went, and he didn't let me go. And I just turned around him. I had a little red sport car, and I went home. But I've run with bear. I've actually had a bear call. It was hurt, and I didn't know it. So I figured scared to death. What was his name? Petals the Bear. I wrote a piece in the Bergen Record, if you want to take a look at it. It was about that.
You wrote a piece about Petals? Petals was in our neighborhood when we lived in northwestern New Jersey. Petals used to come down the time. Some people called them tripod before they called them Petals because he only had the three legs that were functional.
I never realized that. I saw him a couple of times. He was in our yard, and I was standing behind a paintbrush that made out of metal, not a paintbrush, but a stand. And I didn't know that. And he ran up, but he was seen as far as the malls. And he probably got down even down to, he might have gotten down to my sister and daughter's house down in Wayne. That's a distance, but you're right. Some of these bears can travel a great distance.
Yeah.
And I went to Maine and some of those areas up there, and I never saw a bear. Hilda's at the immigration station or whatever it is, and heading into the French province there. And I turned my head, and she saw the bear pass by the booth. You know, I said, never saw a bear in Maine, but she saw them up there. And it was a lot going on. Matter of fact, in government, a guy was in New York, and he joined us in New Jersey, and he brought me up for a study of, there were two groups of, what do they call them, down trees. One was French-Canadian, and the other was Maine-ish, from Maine, and they were arguing. So he had to go up there and do a study, I guess, to show how, you know, there could be peace between the French Canadians and the Americans in Wayne. And he did a good job. I watched him, you know, to learn. And eventually he came over to our state to work for New Jersey. He probably took a pay cut, but he was closer to home because he was on, you know, down only a few miles away from Trenton. But you're right. It was a lot. I mean, I've seen strange things everywhere. You know, my son told us recently that when he was in Florida, he saw alligators in this pond that we swim in. It's a mineral spring, and it used to be operated by, you know, people from Europe, mostly German. And they would walk around. I would swim. But he told me by swimming across the thing, I was swimming against, there were always some, you know, gators that snuck in. So it was always a danger. So I kind of cut that out.
Yeah, last time you were in Florida, you got affected by the red algae, I remember.
Oh, God, that is bad. That is really bad. It's itchy, it's painful, and it's everything. And that somehow gets into the ocean or the Gulf. You know, the Gulf is clean. Billy got bit by it. What did you get bit by? They had to put her in a bag and take her to, they were turtles, weren't they?
Stingrays.
She got bit by stingrays in the Gulf. They put her in a, and I drove her to, to a doctor, which I'd never been to, and did they give you stitches? Yeah, she couldn't really swim after that for a few days. But there's all kind of wildlife even there. And the beaches are, you know, they're rugged. We had I enjoyed that, but I actually liked the north. I'm missing, I usually go to rock concerts and things like that up here. I want to learn. I'm looking at, right now, I'm looking at different magazines I passed up in the last 2 days. One is Descent. I got something from Forney University. I didn't know it, that Vince Scully was a hero to me because of my father. My father was from the Brooklyn Dodgers. And Vince Scully started his career with the Brooklyn Dodgers in Brooklyn. And I got to see Jackie Robinson. He allowed kids to get up. If there was a Saturday game, you'd have a chance to talk to him. In front of me, I do have a book that I bought yesterday on Jackie Robinson. What do I have here? And I have Harvard Business Review. I tried to make to keep up. Still could do that stuff. I had plenty of computers and statistical analysis. And for a while, there was one company I used their software, and I bragged about it. And I brought on a Cuban kid that was from Union City, and he worked in our unit. And he got to do commercials for them. I never figured that one out. But he was a good kid. We did a lot. There were some great studies like that auto study. We really made changes at the Ford company. Unhappily, they transferred the Ford company to Detroit. I spent a good deal of my life in Detroit. Matter of fact, if it didn't close up, I would have went to Detroit. They wanted me there. They're all retired now and everything else. I ran into a stink, Hercules, a real bad guy, very jealous. And here's the irony. His father owned a plant in Edgewater. I know I've told you, I don't know if anybody here, mother worked at that plant in World War II. My father came home and it became Alcoa Aluminum after the war. For 13 years, then he switched to postal work. And my grandfather, one of them, the Italian one, he sharpens knives and things like that. So he would get a ride over there or do whatever else. And my other grandfather, he was a World War One vet. He was a hero in World War One. He came back. He never was the same. Unfortunately, my grandmother was reported to hit him. He was in a wheelchair. My father went from Fort Lee and rolled me all the way down to Union City to see my grandfather because he knew he was going to die. I don't have any remembrance of that. My mother drove. My father didn't. I don't know. But I know I went by carriage because he told me enough times. I could not make them walk. That's a little bit too much of me. Although one thing, I shouldn't say this, my wife will get mad. I was taking people up from Cliffside Park to work at Prentice Hall, which no longer exists in Angler Cliffs. And we gave a ride to Sammy Davis Jr.'s daughter, which was staggering. He lived in the high-rise in Fort Lee and other places. And we had he moved next to I don't know, were you ever in Palisades Amusement Park?
Oh, yeah. I used to live and breathe in Palisades Amusement Park. My wife, too, when we were both kids, we used to go pretty frequently to Palisades. We didn't know each other back then, but we were among those kids running around.
We were the same. I mean, I would walk up there. That was a long walk for us as kids. My second grade teacher had a game room or something where you pinball and all the other stuff. And we walked up there. One time we went in the pool, the soft pool, and they stole our clothes. So we had to walk all the way to Richfield barefoot because we didn't have anything to wear. Anything's possible. We ran into Claude Kirschner. I don't know if you remember him. He was too much. And what was his name? Joe Bolton. He was a pretend cop. He was there doing nights. But that was a place we hung out as young teens and whatever. But that's gone. Everything seems to be gone. Even up here in Sussex County, they used to have a park on the big lake up there, an amusement park. We would go on hay rides. But really, most of my career, it took me places. I spent so much time in Nabisco. I'm lucky I didn't become more of a diabetic because I was eating their cookies all the time. Same with the Kodak company. They had an office down the road. We tried to save Kodak, and it was impossible. We just tried to save one division, and it was impossible.
Nabisco, they're taking apart now. That's been a landmark for my entire life. They're dismantling Nabisco now.
I don't understand it. I think there's a Mexican ownership now of that. But they made a huge cookie there one time. I don't know if you saw that. You know, they cut it in sections and put it back to sections.
I heard of it, but I never saw it.
It's sad to see that go. And Kodak, I believe, I don't think it's even around anymore. Maybe they still do some business. Trump was going to use Kodak for something. It's a sad thing. I made a lot of friends in Atlantic City, but I was not a fan of gambling. I saw what it does to people, and I didn't like getting involved. And I saw what it did to my brother. He was constantly gambling. It's a bad thing. He lost leadership in a postal union, and I'm ashamed that he did that. Stick to the road. I wouldn't have gambled.
We all make mistakes in life, and we all regret doing things maybe we shouldn't have done. But it made you stronger, and you distinguished yourself, and you actually very unique, you know, in all the different things that you were doing, and you drew the attention of the Department of Employment in New York City. I was able to learn of your adventures even back then. So you left your mark in the world.
It was in that I spent a lot of time in New York City and the World Trade Center, because they had your government agency there had offices in the World Trade Center. And it was fun to go there. I think we had to go out of one building to go to the other to eat. Because New York City and state, they had a lot of offices in those buildings at one time. Matter of fact, that's what kept them open. But I enjoyed going over to the Manhattan office. New York always seemed to be construction going on when I came from someplace to take the train back to Jersey City. But it was a great experience. And we brought one guy over with us. There was a guy that I really loved. He was always telling me German stories. He wasn't really a likable guy to many of the people in the New York office. I couldn't get him to come down. I wanted him to come down. A guy named Jesse Behrens we did bring down, and he was an asset to our department. Just too many. I made enemies. We had a commissioner that was from our area, and he would tell me I was doing a good job, and then one day he said, "You did a lousy job." I did job fairs that drew an average of 800 people, and I had close to 100 companies. And I charged a minimum charge that didn't go to me. It went to the people that ran the gym floor there, which was my hometown. I didn't want my hometown to get that. I wanted a poor town, Franklin. I don't know if you remember much about Franklin, but it was a mining town at one time.
I remember Franklin.
And I wanted them to do well. And this stupid idiot councilman came. "We want to put a swimming pool in here." Well, you couldn't put a swimming pool, but I got along with the Republican state senator. He was like a father figure to me. He brought me back up there. And I said, "You can't put it here because there's chemicals in that floor. It's not safe." And he went on and on. He said, We're going to get out of here. He gave away a good choice, and he gave it to my town. I didn't want my town to get it. It's a little uppity, and I think a town of coal miners and ex-coal miners should get a break with their kids because they swallow the worst dust there is. The next town over, Ogdensburg, is the same case. The top of that is of the mountain that we're under has Florida and Ogdensburg people somehow in there at the top. The great filmmaker or opera, what was his name? Now I'm forgetting him. The guy that made the camera, invented Hercules. Who invented the movie camera? Was it Kodak? Edison.
I don't remember. Possibly Edison. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. He was in our area because he failed with the mine. And then he went to Montana and succeeded with things. And the lights took off, the phonographs took off. I think other people got into his, some of his inventions or actually succeeded him. But it was a wonderful world. The people, I had so much fun. I went places I never would. I went to 35, 36 states. And I never would have had that chance. I might have done like a movie version, travel out to California. But I got to California, and then I went up the coast, and then I went into Nevada and did things in Nevada. I never would have had that chance. And I don't gamble. I don't want to gamble. I didn't want to be like my brother and stuff like that. My brother got in trouble. This is a thing. I wrote all the punishments that he should get. And one of them was to be banned from casinos for the rest of his life. I'm sure he's, you know, broken that deed or the land, and his wife is encouraging it. But it's not the way the life to go. I saw too many people lose too much in their life. And I was telling you earlier, I couldn't drink and I wouldn't drink. And I had people coming in that would want to buy me a drink. And I knew, A, Hercules, I got hit by a drunk and he destroyed one kidney. So I wasn't going to drink. And I would tell people, I really can't. But if you want to buy me something, buy me a shot of Blackberry Brandy. Well, the Blackberry Brandy, it broke the law. I took a half a cup and I put water in the thing. And I just kept drinking it and took the bottle home with me. I didn't want to rob them. I wanted to give them the pleasure of seeing me get, I didn't get drunk. Well, one time it was my, they gave me a bachelor party. They took me to some hideous place. I didn't want to be involved in those things. But I've come across interesting people. We had Alden Order. Is that how you say his name? He lives between you and me. You're a town or two over. And he's there. My cousin has one of the largest, what was the show's, bagel shop? Who would figure that from a DiCarlo? She's in the coast town to you. I've never been there once. My uncle was her father, and he was a builder. He wanted the ladies to join him in building. Sadly, when he died, Steinbrenner was his closest friend. He had a limited, his education was fourth degree, 4 years. But he learned so much in his lifetime. Me, I was just a lousy student. Well, no, I was a pretty good student.
I don't think you're a lousy student. You wrote too many reports, and you developed so many evaluation instruments. And you're still writing. You're writing for newspapers and magazines.
I did everything I could. I joined all kinds of personal organizations. I invited myself to meetings where I would see if stuff was useful to me. I did everything I could to raise staff levels. I had a couple of people on staff. What was it? I had one guy, and he was just always backwards to me. And I was trying to help him. He died a young man. For some reason, he wound up becoming the manager of Patterson, and he walked from Kearney every day. Maybe he came home that way. I don't know. But he never took the easy road. I wasn't his enemy. The other people in the office didn't like him. I liked him. But sometimes you can't carry that message over to him. And I gave him what I thought were choice jobs. Because he liked to go out and do tests and measurements. You know, if we created a test, he would try it on somebody. And I thought that was a good thing for him. We lost our chance. I was asked to go to Detroit. I don't think my wife would have went with me. I don't know if my kids would have went with me. But I would have had to, you know, travel back and forth. I had good friends there, and they were interesting, but we couldn't beat North Carolina. And we had membership in four or five states, including yours, your old state. And it would have been a pleasure to cover different regions of the United States. We even had California. But that didn't matter to the people in Washington. They just want to get out and do whatever they're going to do, and lord this on a state that couldn't do anything. They never did anything. And I did a lot of investigation of jobs and testing people and making sure tests were fair. I would do the statistical analysis. There were so many ways of doing it. Some tests, actually, I had employers and employees look at the test and weigh them. And I would develop statistics. I don't have that to test. I'm talking over on statistics, tongue-tied. But I would try to make it a fair test. Do anything to be a fair test that would meet legitimate, not somebody's bonehead idea to screen people out. Try to screen some people in if they're on the border. When you take a test, there's a standard error of measurement.
Right.
And sometimes people weren't following those some seriously. I took off almost 20 years ago for the guy that was ahead of me. I just ran into him last year at a paint show. He looks like he's going his brain's going. Beautiful painting, great artist. He was my boss for a number of years. He wanted to retire, but sometimes you may have to hang on if you can. You want to keep yourself fresh. Like right now, today, I've been reading a whole bunch of articles and books and everything to keep myself fresh to see if I can wind up back on something. I'd like to be back on a college campus. I don't know if that'll come back. But you do what you have to do. I mean, there'll be places, hopefully, that I'll get hired or do something great. I hate to be done. I still have some time. I have a grandson that thinks opposite, I think, beautify my car, but he's got a problem in his head. But that's the way life is, and you're doing a lot of good where you are. You know, working with even the political community, it's a good thing to do. If you could win both sides to talk to you, and one obviously dominates in every part of Bergen County. They're not all the parts, but there are. We have to start working together on projects, not bite each other's head and try to score a quick win or whatever. We need better assessments. We need better assessments to where people stand. Jobs, we need to know more about jobs. We seem to be forgetting what jobs are, and they're changing directly before us. Skills and different ideals are no longer employed. It's crazy. But time, hopefully, will change for the better. There's so many things that could be made here. You and I both remember the singing ladies. What happened? Are they singing better in China? I don't think so. I go into Walmart and I say, God, this clothes is hideous. I don't know if it's who's making it. I hope that it's for real. But the prices are New Jersey, New York prices in a store like, why can't the original concept behind that store was that they would take stuff in from American companies and guide them. And I don't see that. I see, you know, clothes that I don't like, you know, they don't last, they're not cut right. We need changes in our whole society. We need to compete again, learn to compete. Competition is good. Forget the airbags. You can blow them up a billion times. They're going to keep flying them. Unless you can blow them over the back to Russia or China, do that. I don't know which one or both of them would do it. It seems logical to me it would be the Russians because they're coming over Alaska and they're landing in various regions. But we need to do more and be better. Our parents taught for what they got. I'm a generation from a blue-collar family, and they were successful. And my grandfather, he was in World War One, and he got sick. He was an FBI agent under the original J. Edgar Hoover, but he didn't last long. He was in a wheelchair quickly. He was at Alcoa Aluminum, doing a security job from a wheelchair. My irony is I came to the guy that managed that plant to manage my father and manage my mother. I didn't like his adopted son because he was a creep, but I learned a lot from the other guy. He was sending me, but you got to get this. The World Sucks. That's the name of one of his books. I hope it's not offending people. Something like that. He wrote these crazy books. He gave me a whole set of them. I don't know where they are now, but I can't seem to find them in Jersey. But they were, you know, they did reasonable sales. He knew of the economy. He knew GE, and he knew the old plant in Edgewater, and he was up on things. It just seemed so bad. He went so quick. You know, I knew him for a period of time, and he was gone. He had you remember Uppsala University, Hercules? Were you in New Jersey there?
I remember.
We had a campus. We had a campus in Sussex County. There was one in Uppsala in East Orange or something. But we had on that man's farm, they put up classes. And people took Uppsala classwork up there. And I thought that was good. People don't have the time or the ability often to travel that far. And he, you know, I think he sharpened his skills, and he enabled other people to go there. I kind of miss him. I don't like his son. He adopted son. And I think his adopted son threw out the Asians and the blacks that were living there. And I don't think that's right. He adopted them as like his sons and daughters. He had a lot of land, and they enjoyed it. This guy is just ruthless. But you know,
now, Bill, we're going to have to wrap up today's conversation, but it'll be a to be continued. Thank you for sharing so much of your life today and bringing us down memory lane. How can people reach you?
Well, they can reach my, you know, my number here, Lou,
673-670-6257.
Now, I didn't even know I had this number. She just wrote it down for me. But it's my phone here. So I don't know if you have it. It's 973-670-6257. I do
and
a lot of work on Facebook.
You're on Facebook, yes. And you also write a lot. You're in a lot of magazines and newspapers.
Yes, and I'm going to start doing that full course. I enjoyed that. I would hit your local paper, the Bergen Record. I would hit papers in the southern region of the nation simultaneously, and I would jump from other papers to other papers. The New York Times did a great story on me. It's funny at times. It was about voting and all the troubles I went through with wild animals and everything else. And I think it's a funny piece. It was a full-page story in the Times. But I've done more learned studies in other papers. That's irony when you consider that it was the New York Times. But they had a lot of fun. Because I don't remember seeing some of the animals they said they I saw. I did see a moose. And I actually have seen wolves. And that's a scary thing. Not so much anymore. I don't know. There is a wolf farm in our area, I guess for movies. But it's been a long ride. I've enjoyed it, and I hope that I can stay on track for a longer time.
You will, and you have many great days before you, and you've accomplished many great things, so you'll accomplish even more. It was great speaking to you and Hildy. Thank you, Hildy. And I will talk to you soon.
Okay.
Okay, we love it. Enjoy yourself tonight.
You too, Bill. And thanks to all the listeners who tuned in, whether you clicked on a link and found yourself here, whether you called in and you're waiting in our queue, or whether you're going to check us out later on demand. Until next time, this is us wishing you joyous journeys and amazing adventures. Thanks again, Bill. Thanks again, Hildy.
Thank you so much.
Okay.